Starting in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10, if you flip there with me. If you're a guest here or new, we opened our year with a 21-day Daniel fast. And as we're seeking and fasting, praise the Lord just begins to open up more and more revelation of who He is and His will to us. Here, just starting out in Daniel 10. I was listening. Tyler's been preaching on Daniel on Wednesday nights. It's been real good. I'm just going to kind of tag up with what he was sharing Wednesday night. Daniel 10:1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Bible says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, and no or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Again, here he is in a three-week time of fasting and praying and concern for the vision. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face was like lightning, his eyes flaming torches. His arms and legs like a gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. You know, Tyler brought this out, and I just wanted to bring this out again to everyone here. That, you know, Daniel was a man who wanted to walk and talk with God. He turned away from things of the world. We look at it in Daniel chapter 1 as we've studied that even when the Babylonians came and ransacked the temple and destroyed everything and took the exiles of Jerusalem back into Babylon and was trying to program and brainwash the Israelite young men to be infiltrated into the culture of Babylon, the culture of the world. And Daniel purposed in his heart, you know, I'm not going to allow the world to get into my life, but I'm going to keep myself unto my Lord. And he purposed in his heart. And, you know, God bless that. As you turn aside from some of the things of the world and say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I'm going to dedicate myself to know you, God, to follow your word, your way. I'm going to spend time seeking you. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently, earnestly, putting a little time and effort to turning aside and turning off some things of the world and focusing on Christ. And he rewards that. He knows your heart. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He says, seek me, you will find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask, it shall be given. Look, he's out there. His eyes are going to and fro. Who he might show himself strong. He wants to show himself strong to you, your marriage, your family, your children. He just wants you to seek and he'll show you himself. So here Daniel's seeking him. And man has visions and revelations. And, you know, he doesn't just stop and go on. Yeah, well, this thing happened back when I was, you know, 18 years old or back when I was 20. Daniel was a man that continued walking and seeking the Lord. He doesn't go on one supernatural miracle event. I got saved when I was 8 or something like that. It's a continual growth and a continual unfolding of who he is. So he kept on seeking and he kept on finding. And here we see in the chapters he was given the understanding to interpret dreams and revelations. But now he gets a picture, a vision. He meets up with Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Most Bible scholars agree that in this paragraph, the one he saw is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He saw him in his full glory and all his power and all his authority. So Daniel sees him. God wants to unveil himself to you. You know, we have an understanding, a glimpse of Jesus Christ, but it's a continual unfolding. He wants to show himself to you, church, more and more. Amen? So he sees Christ in his glory. Praise the Lord. The Bible goes on to say, amen, I, Daniel, verse 7, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. I was left alone, gazing at the great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and I listened to him. I fell into a deep sleep, and my face to the ground. Then the Bible says in verse 10, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider the words carefully I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Now, you know, Daniel, he said he's highly esteemed. He was one that sought after the Lord. The Lord met with him, spoke to him. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and reveal deep secrets to him. You know, he says, call unto me. Jeremiah 33:3, and answer me. Call unto me. And he says, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Okay, but Daniel here, highly esteemed by the Lord who was showing him things. I want to just say, each and every one of you who have received Christ as your Savior, you have been born again into the family of God, and the Spirit of the Lord that would come to Daniel now resides inside of you. Amen? You are all highly esteemed in the eyes of the Father. Each one of you is a precious child of the living God who sent his Son that you might have a relationship for you. And after Jesus washed you by his blood, he cleansed you of all your sin, as Andrew just spoke this morning, and made you righteous so that God could live where? Inside of you. So the Spirit of the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, now dwells in us. And the Spirit that would interpret dreams and visions for Daniel and give him great revelation of Christ now dwells in each of us. You are highly esteemed by God. He's not looking at your past sin and the struggles and the failures. He's looking at what Christ has done. And if you've received him, he sees you as righteous. Get this, as Christ. Because it's Christ's righteousness that's in you. It's not your righteousness. It's his. Amen. So praise the Lord. With that, you are all highly esteemed. And we can all come to know and understand dreams, visions, things of the future. We can understand the book of Daniel. We can understand Revelation. We can understand his will for your life and your marriage and your home and your family. Now we can listen to the voice of God. He's speaking every day. He's not far from you. He's here. Praise the Lord. We just sometimes get distracted by events of the world, circumstances around, our own feelings and things. Hey, we just stop and listen and walk in his peace. He's there and he's ready to answer you. Amen. He's not holding himself back from showing you things. He wants to. I just pray as always, hey, Lord, help us to be aware of your presence that you're speaking. Help us to fine tune our listening. Help us to turn aside that we can also seek as Daniel and hear your voice. Praise the Lord. Now he says here, verse 12, this is interesting about spiritual warfare. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Okay? He's come, the angel Gabriel, the messenger angel, to be able to speak the word of God to Daniel, to interpret the dream, to understand the vision, to tell him things are to come. He said, I've been sent to you. I've been sent, praise the Lord. He says, to gain understanding. The words were heard and I've come in response. So it's response to Daniel's words and prayer that God moved and sent the answer. He comes in response to you speaking his word. Amen? I've come in response to your word. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says here, but the prince of Persia, the Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So he's got this mighty vision of what's coming up. He's going to begin to understand and get interpretation so he can write it down. And praise the Lord, he writes it down in chapter 11. Tyler brought out too. There's over 100 prophecies, specific things, one after the other. Bam, bam, bam. And if you have any knowledge of world history, any knowledge, I'd say you'd have to be a true scholar of world history. You can look at all of the lines of chapter 11 and see what happened, and look at your history book and say, "There's that one. There's that one. There it is. There it is. There it is." One after the other, everything Daniel prophesied about future wars and battles of kings and nations come up, happened just like he said it would happen in chapter 11. So he understood this. And folks, I'm just here to tell you and remind you, you know, Daniel's one of the key, most important prophetic books of the Old Testament. Okay, and it lines up with what John saw and gave us in the book of Revelation. And it two of them comes together. Bible scholar uses Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation to put together eschatology of what's going to happen in the future. For Daniel not only prophesied what was happening in the near future that they were going to see in the next few hundred years or thousand years, those things came to pass, but he also prophesied what's happening now and in the future of our lifetime. Amen. And just like the things that he prophesied came exactly to pass in our past now, the things he prophesied about this day and what's happening in the future will happen just like he said it. Amen. Amen. So we're living in these times. We're living in the times that Daniel's talking about. Praise the Lord. So he said, now here, but I came and I was detained. And I just want to give some insight to this. Tyler brought it out well Wednesday night. Many of you weren't here. I want to share it again. I want to make sure it's that important. Hold your spot in Daniel and turn with me all the way back to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings, deep in the Old Testament, chapter 6. And just real short here, the Aramean army was going to try to capture Elisha and his servant. They found out where he was. They sent the whole army to surround the city to get Elijah. You know, it was hard to fight against Israel when a prophet of God was able to tell Israel everything the other team was doing, you know? So they wanted to take out Elisha. And Elijah and his servant there in the city, in this small city, was surrounded by the whole Aramean army who was coming to get him. And you know, Elisha was walking with God. He's walking with the presence of the King of Kings, the Spirit of God coming upon him and empowering him to see and understand. Praise the Lord. So right here in 2 Kings 6, are you with me? Did you turn there to see it for yourself? He says in verse 16, he's telling his servant, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Amen. Church, I'm prophesying to you now with the same spirit that was upon Elijah. Those that are with you are more than those who are with the world. Amen. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world, and I have the victory, and I know the beginning and the end, and you're one of the winners," okay? So praise the Lord. Just know when you're facing trial, facing temptation, facing struggle, facing persecution, and it looks like everything's against you, I want to tell you there's more for you than there are against you. Amen? We serve a living God who's won the victory. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Praise the Lord. And he's not only written down the beginning, he wrote down the end for us as well. So Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." The servant is scared. He's surrounded by a physical army. They're about to take him over, wipe him out, kill him. And Elijah's saying, no, guys, it doesn't look good here, but I'm telling you, we're going to win. There's more for us. So he said, "Pray that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. This was not a physical army. This was a spiritual army of, praise the Lord, the angels of heaven and the chariots of fire. Church, what I want to tell you is this. Behind this veil of the physical realm, there is a spiritual realm. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, get real weird on any of you or anything. I'm just telling you the truth, the facts. Okay? We call it, I like to say, you know, Paul talked about, he knew a man once that had visited the third heaven. Well, the third, there's also a first and a second. I like to interpret it this way. The first heaven is what we go out and see. You know, we look around. Y'all saw the big blood red moon, the big blue moon. The big moon this week is glorious, great big. You saw the stars in the heaven. We see the physical realm. It's the first heaven, what we can see. But behind this veil, if we could pull it open right now and look over nations and kingdoms, you could also see a spiritual realm where there's princes of darkness and there's also angels of light and there's war that takes place in the heavenlies. And when you're involved in spiritual warfare, praying, things are happening not only in the physical, but first it comes through the spiritual and then it comes to the physical. Angels are real. Demons are real. Fallen angels are real around. And this is real as well. So Elijah prayed, "Open up the eyes of my servant." Elijah already sees it in his spirit because he walks with God and he knows what's around him. His servant didn't see. He said, "Open his eyes to see." So it's like the curtain veil was opened, and behind this physical realm, he saw into the second heaven, and he saw the angels all around. And now he sees the army with his physical eyes in the first realm, and now he's looking beyond in the second and say, "Hey, greater is he that's with us than those with them." Now you got a confidence. So Elijah saw that. You know what he did, if you follow the rest of the story? He says, okay. So he prayed, okay? It's not just that they're there, but God has given you authority to bind and loose in the heavenly realms. So it doesn't just, look, this salvation and this everything, it's not as though we can say, okay, well, God's sovereign, so he'll do whatever he wants, so it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. It's not true. He put you in charge. He put man in charge of this physical realm to usher in the kingdom of heaven to the earth. So you are the conduit between the spiritual heaven and the earth, the physical world, to bring the kingdom of heaven down to this earth. Jesus came from heaven to earth, praise the Lord, and then he made us ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven to walk on this earth to bring the kingdom to earth. Are you with me?
Amen.
So in order for this to work, you can't just say, okay, God, we're surrounded, but if it's your will that we beat the enemy, then, you know, you do something. I'm just going to hang out here, say nothing, do nothing, and your will be done. Nah. Elisha knew what was there, but he had to speak it. You want to pray over your teenager driving to Monroe? You can't just assume. You have to speak it. You want to pray over your marriage or your family? You can't just assume, God, whatever happens must be your will. No, you've been given the authority to declare it, to speak it. You have the opportunity to pray it or not. You want to believe for healing for someone? Well, you can just, you know, not say, well, if it's God's will for them to heal, he'll do it. Or you can take the authority and pray and believe and exercise it and put things into motion. Are you hearing me? It's not just, you know, we kick back and say, well, God, if you're going to save Africa, then you'll save Africa. No, he said, go into all the world. Pray, speak it, believe it. Pray. He said, so Elisha saw this and then he spoke. Lord, strike this army with blindness. And those on the chariots of fire all around heard his word and obeyed it and did it. And that whole army surrounding that city was blind. Elisha and his servants come out. His servant comes out and said, hey, guys, who are you looking for? He's not here. He was winning the battle. He says, come with me. I'll show you where he is. And he led the whole blind army, who are now dumbfounded, confused, and blinded by the spiritual realm behind the physical. And he walked them to the city of Samaria, came into their gates, the nation of Israel, yeah, Judah and Israel, walked them in there. And when they got there, now they said, okay, the king of Samaria came out. What do you, hey, Elisha, you're the boss here. What shall we do? Kill them all? And Elisha said, no, let's feed them all. Read the story. So they brought out all the picnic tables and they cooked, and the other army that was going to kill them sat down and they fed them all, had a great feast. And the Bible says, then that army didn't mess with Israel for the rest of their time. Isn't that cool? Brought them all in and fed the enemy. You know, he had them whipped already. He led them where he wanted them to go and he sat them down. And then God's mercy showed up and he just fed them. But it moved their hearts. He says that team never messed with Israel for the rest of that time for a while, till another group was raised up. Are you with me? So I'm telling you, church, there's something behind the realm. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Most Christians are familiar with that verse, Ephesians 6, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what do we wrestle with? Against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness in heavenly realms. Which realm? Not the third heaven where the throne of God is. They don't want to go there. It's the second heaven between here and there where they can operate. And what they do, they use their demonic influence of the dragon, Satan himself, the little g god of this world, who deceive man. And he uses that and they influence areas and nations and regions and kings like ISIS. That's influenced by a wicked power in heavenly realms. I'm telling you, people are naturally so evil where they will behead other people and put their heads on poles and kill and rape children and babies. That's more than just human depravity. That is demonic forces behind them that's infiltrating and using them. Amen. Are you hearing me? That's why governments can't understand. You know, they think you should just be nice to Iran or Russia or Putin or something, that they'll all be friends and humanity will work itself out and we'll all be one global united government. Folks, not as long as there's evil still in the world. You have to stand against it.
Yes.
You can't have peace till you have victory. Amen. Amen? Learn that in World War II. You know? Neville Chamberlain tried to give Hitler everything he wanted. And maybe, oh, if we give him Czechoslovakia, maybe he'll be nice to us. Well, after Czechoslovakia, he started taking Belgium and then he came into France. Winston Churchill said, no, we're not going to have peace until we have victory. We've got to go and take him out first. Okay? And he established this as the sign of victory. Now, the smoke and dope hippies turned it around and said, this is a peace sign. Folks, this can be peace, but you got to have victory first. Hello? Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, we can have peace in our hearts, and he's going to establish his kingdom of peace on this earth forever one day. But right now, the victory is a spiritual victory inside of you, and as you take it into this fallen world, you can exercise and enforce it and bring others that are bound by the god of this world through spiritual warfare and proclaiming the gospel. You can bring them out of the darkness into the light, and they can have peace in their heart. But there's not going to be peace on this earth There won't be peace on earth till the Prince of Peace comes back. Deal with it. Peace on earth, what he brought when he first came, I'm bringing peace. The angels proclaim peace toward men. Peace between God and man now through Christ. Later, peace on earth when the King of Peace comes back. But he'll have to annihilate first all that's evil that have rejected him. Hey, the liberal leftists don't want to hear that. We can all in our humanity become so educated that we work it out and tolerate everybody's evil and forgiveness and just all get along and establish the Tower of Babel again when we're all together in a one world peaceful government where everybody is their own God and does their own thing. Folks, that's the religion of humanism. Humanism being your own God. It's not going to happen that way. Praise the Lord. So I just wanted, in this story of Daniel, you can see a picture of spiritual warfare. Okay? He says, the prince detained me 21 days. 21 days, Daniel was fasting and praying. Okay? So the angel Michael was loose because of his prayers. God sent Michael to go help Gabriel and win over the prince of Persia, this Persian kingdom operating in evil. Why? Because there's a spiritual force behind it. Okay? You know, the Bible will interpret itself for you. It'll show you the spiritual realm that's behind it. Well, praise the Lord. We have victory in all of these realms through Christ Jesus already. Now, turn with me from there back to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Antichrist today. The first part of Daniel 7, he sees four beasts. Now, many times when God gives a word, he gives it twice so that you can be sure of it. Matter of fact, Jesus sometimes said, "Verily, verily, I say it to you. I say unto you." In other words, I've told you before. Now, just in case you were a little dull, a little hard-headed, I'm telling you again. Okay? So Daniel gives the same idea of the kings coming and what's going to happen in another dream. So there's a dream Nebuchadnezzar has, and he interprets it in chapter 2. Now there's a dream in chapter 7, and Daniel gets the dream, and this time it's four beasts, but the four beasts line up with Daniel 2. The winged lion is Babylon. It goes right along with the head of gold in Nebuchadnezzar's statue. The lopsided bear is the Medo-Persian Empire that goes along with the chest as silver, the chest and arms of silver. It's Medo-Persia. In Persia, the bear was hunched over, one side more dominant. Persia was more dominant than the Medes. Okay, it's real clear history. He prophesied and it happened just like he said. Then there's the four-headed leopard. This is Greece, the Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire. It's the belly and thighs of bronze in the statue. And in the Greek Empire, if you study history, Alexander the Great rose up at an early age in his 20s, started conquering everything. He wiped out the Medes and the Persians. He took over, but at a young age, he was killed at 32, and four of his generals took over. And Daniel got it exactly right. The four-headed, those four generals started dominating four kingdoms that came out of that. And you can follow that along in history. Just like Daniel prophesied before it happened, then it happened. So we got just like in Daniel chapter 2, we got the same kingdoms shown again. Then the terrible beast, the iron legs of Rome. Rome was a divided kingdom, Eastern, Western later. You had both kingdoms together at first, then it was a divided Roman Empire. And this terrible beast goes on and it talks about the 10 horns, this group of nations, this group of people groups that come out of the Roman Empire, the iron and the clay feet together. We're talking about what many Bibles believe, church, Is it like a revised Roman Empire? Some think it's the beginnings of what we see in the United Nations, the European Common Market, a group of world areas coming together, the 10 horns, to begin to dominate the earth. We see now, church, as the world is becoming like smaller, so to speak, because of our ease to travel and the internet and businesses, that soon we need more and more of a global type government for economic reasons. We saw Europe already come together years ago and come out with the euro, where instead of having a different currency every time you cross the border of France and Spain and Belgium and Italy, you know, those countries are so close together, it'd be like going from Louisiana to Texas and you're crossing in from Italy into another country. If you travel Europe, you know, it's so to transfer money every time is a little bit ridiculous. So they started doing it one currency. Well, soon they're going to want to do a one type currency for the world. And that's coming up more and more. So you see these things happening. But also it shows that this one world government is coming together so that it might be ruled by someone who wants to rule the whole thing. You see Satan, very jealous of God and jealous of Christ. He wants to be God and he wants to imitate Christ. So just like Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, the Bible makes reference to an Antichrist, who the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, but this Antichrist to be the leader of the whole world. And he also makes reference, you've heard, of the false prophet, which causes people, watch this, to worship the beast, the Antichrist. Just like the Holy Spirit causes folks to see and worship Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God always points folks to Jesus. Yes. The false prophet will always point folks to the Antichrist. Everything Jesus has and is, the devil wants to be. And just like Jesus was risen from the grave, the Bible talks about this Antichrist who had a fatal wound, and it looks like he was dead, comes up out of that. So there'll also be like a false resurrection because the Antichrist wants to be like Christ. But Daniel's prophesying all these things of his future, which has already happened, but these things of the Antichrist he's talking is really now and in our future, which will also happen. Are you with me, saints? So the Bible says, that, let's look at verse 7 of chapter 7. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there was before me a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all former beasts, and it had 10 horns. When I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Okay? The Bible goes on to say, then the throne, we saw the throne of God, and judgment was, and the books were open, and judgment came. And the Bible says in verse 13, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Many people say that this verse here in 13 and 14 is one of the most important in all of the Old Testament, all of prophecy, the book of Daniel right here. He talks about Jesus coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Jesus, praise God, verse 14, was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All people, nations, and men of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and he will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So just like Daniel 2, you saw during the time of that terrible beast, the ends of the Romans Empire, the stone kingdom filled the earth and it'll never end. Daniel sees it again in his own vision and sees the four beasts, but he sees the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ last forever. All right? So it gives us these kingdoms. It tells even how terrible they'll be, but we to take heart and be of good cheer, for we know Jesus Christ and his saints, this kingdom, the kingdom you're in now, church, is the kingdom that will reign forever. Okay? You know, if you get tired of hearing about all the fighting on the news with the memo, I told you on the internet, I got a memo for you. We're revealing the memo now. This is a memo that was, you know, secretly given to the ambassador Daniel. And praise God, today it's being unveiled. Amen? How about that for a memo? Aren't you tired of hearing about the world's memo and all their junk? That junk's going to keep on going. But praise the Lord, I got good news. We belong to a kingdom of without the junk that's going to last forever. Amen? Glory to God. Now, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at 1 and 2 Thessalonians and talk a little bit about what the New Testament says about this same little horn, this same Antichrist that Daniel spoke of. Are y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you why we're doing this through the Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. Sometimes this is preached a lot of times at funerals. You should be familiar with it. Brothers, sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, meaning died, or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. How many glad you're a Christian? You go to a Christian's funeral and you don't have to grieve like funerals you go to where they're not Christians, you know? We rejoice. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the passing of his saints. So we can rejoice at our funerals, right? We know for those who don't really know or not really sure, I've done a lot of them. It's a sad deal. Okay? So we're not like those who grieve. We're folks who have hope. We believe in a resurrection. Amen? It says, verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Amen. Verse 15, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. Anybody know, you got a loved one that's dead in Christ? You went to the grave, you buried them, their bones are in there, but they were Christians. Folks, those are going to rise first.
Amen.
The graves are going to be opened. The dead, the bones, will rise up out of the grave. Their spirit is already with the Lord. Those bones will be resurrected. They will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. They'll have a new glorified body to meet their spirit. Their spirit will join their glorified body and they'll forever be with the Lord. And that spirit and body is going to come back down to this earth that's going to be transformed. And we're going to rule and reign with him forever on a new heaven and new earth. Amen? Folks. This gospel is not some philosophical thing just about love your neighbor. That's good. We love our neighbor and stuff, you know. But hey, even those smoking dope and, you know, doing acid and stuff, you know, come up with the song, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you live with. Let's just love everybody. And oh, there's folks out in the world loving their neighbors, right? They're loving their neighbor's wife. They're loving their neighbor's, you know, hey. This is not some philosophical thing just about love your neighbor. God shows himself through us in how we love our neighbor. But there's much more. There's much more. There's a new heaven and a new earth. I'm telling you, it's this earth purged with fire, recreated how it was before the fall, and we're going to live on it. You're not going to be an angel with wings. You're going to be a person. I'm going to know you. and you're going to know me, and you're going to have a body, and your spirit's going to be in your body, and this body can walk and talk and feel and jump in the river and swim. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm coming up. These bayous are going to be made crystal clear, and I'm going to come up and splash you, and you're going to remember I told you this. And I'm sure of it. I've had a glimpse of glory. I'm not being weird on you there. I'm just saying we all have. We have a down payment of what's to come by the Spirit that's in us. You have a glimpse of that too, don't you?
Amen.
Okay, because it's real. Because the Spirit of the Lord that wrote this Bible lives in you, and He's interpreting it for you now as we speak. Okay, church? We have this hope. Folks, come on now, wake up. If in this life only we have hope, we're to be pitied above all men. It's not just this life we have hope. This life, we're called to share the love of Christ with all the nations. Hallelujah. It's a short time. It's not about just you and your business and your vacations and your family. It's about the kingdom of God in you, spreading it to all the world. Hallelujah. Before He comes back. Because when He comes back, that's when, hey, the rest of the real life in you is really going to get to be expressed, because there's going to be a new heaven and new earth forever. And this time, you'll no one even remember later on. Hello? We'll be so overjoyed with things to come. Some of this will start just fade away. Are you with me? We're not to be pitied above all men, because we don't have hope in just now. We have hope in now and forever. So He's coming. The dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're talking about the rapture here. We'll be caught up. Those on earth, when Jesus returns, the dead will rise first, and those on earth will be caught up with them, joining them. They rise first, and we meet them in the clouds with the Lord. Our bodies transformed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now look at chapter 5. Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we have no need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While the people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness that this day should surprise you like a thief. It is not saying, church, oh, well, Pastor Dave was, you know, talking about, you know, Daniel and Revelation and things to come. You know, we don't, you know, I'd rather not think about all that. We don't want to know about the end times or eschatology or Revelation. Hey, we just want to live here and now. Teach us how to, you know, get along with our neighbor and you know, prosper my job and help me with our marriage. No. The Bible put this in here for us to read it and study it and talk about it. Because He's coming like a thief to the world, but He says for you, you won't be surprised as a thief come to your house, because you're going to be watching, alert, and ready, because we've had this day and we're talking about it. Thank you. He doesn't want us to just live and say, well, whatever happens, happens, and when it comes, it comes. No, He wants us to read Daniel. He wants us to teach it. He wants us to open Revelation. He wants us to study it. He wants us to interpret the times and the seasons, and He wants us to know the season of His return. He does not want you to predict the day and the hour. That's wrong. That's nuts. If you got some books out there, say somebody's telling you when He's coming back, don't buy it. Okay? If you study a Jewish wedding, you'll know the son doesn't even know.
Amen.
But the father. When the bride has made herself ready, He'll tell the groom, go get your bride. He's gone to prepare a place, just like in a Jewish wedding, the groom would go get the house ready. And when the father said, it looks ready to me, and the bride's ready, it's time to go get her, then they would go. So everybody knew the wedding date was getting close, but nobody knew the day or the hour. Are you with me? We are supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be looking at the times. We're supposed to be, we see the news. We see what's happening in Israel. We see these things unfolding. We come together as a church. We talk about it. We prophesy about it. We encourage each other to go to the nations like you sending us to Zimbabwe coming up. We're going to the nations. We're speeding up his return. Why? Because he said to go into all the world before I come back. So that's what we're doing as a church. You got loved ones that need to be saved that aren't in church, that aren't listening to the gospel, that are going, it's time for you to go knock on their door and say, hey, look, man, I've got something to talk to you about. The time for salvation of your friends and loved ones is now, okay? Not later. The time for you to live the life so people will see Christ in you is now. No greater love than someone has than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. If Jesus is willing to lay down your life, wouldn't you be willing to lay down your cigarette so your son won't pick up the habit you got? Wouldn't that be love? If he's willing to lay down his life, how many habits are you willing to lay down to show your children how to live? People who put drugs in front of their child should be in jail or in rehab. Hello? It's time of love we lay down some stuff that our children and our neighbors and our coworkers won't pick it up. Thank you. If that pricks somebody's heart, praise the Lord. That's what the sword of the Spirit does, because he loves you and he loves others and he wants to flow through us. And we don't want anything that's in us to block others from seeing Christ in us, do we? We're willing to lay that down out of love for our neighbor. Praise the Lord. So he says, you're not in darkness. Verse 6, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Amen? For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, put in our faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He died for us that wherever we're asleep or awake, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, just like in fact we're doing now, it says. So let's be alert. Let's encourage one another. As we see the day, capital D, the day of his coming, approaching, like we're talking about, it says to meet together even more and encourage encourage one another daily. Daily. Encourage one another to go and share with your friends, to go and lay some things down, to lay off every excessive weight that you might be run with him, to follow him, to get involved in a small group, to study it, to be active, praise the Lord. Because the king, I'm telling you, he's returning. He's returning. He's like one who went away on a trip and he gave his servant some responsibilities to handle. And he's coming back and he wants to see, how did you handle it? You've been given gifts. You've been given talents. Did you use them for my glory? Or did you just hide them a portable way? You've been given things to do. You've been given assignment. Your church has an assignment. Praise the Lord. Are you involved in the welcome team, in the ushers, in the parking, in the greeter? Did you sign up for the nursery? Did you get involved in the children's church? Are you going to the prison? Are you reaching out to the neighbor? Are you letting what's being put in you today as I'm equipping the saints for the work of the ministry? Folks, I'm telling you, most of the work of the ministry of this church starts by you receiving the word and you go and share it with your wife, your friend, your neighbor, your kids. Yes. That's how it's supposed to happen. We're encouraging you, strengthening you, that you use this whole young people group right there, look at there, that you can share this love with friends and neighbors at your school. That little kid that's dropping his books that everybody's making fun of, you go and befriend them. You show the love of Christ with the ones that others won't show the love. You overcome the things of the world and you start living out the example. We're equipping you. Jesus is coming back. He's going to return. Let's express his love to others. Now, one more verse I want to get to. Flip with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now he's talking specifically about the man of lawlessness. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Even in the time of Thessalonica, as Paul went and built a church there, established, built the people, and had pastors there, he had to write this letter because some were going behind him and saying, hey, Jesus has already come and you missed it. You know, this is happening, this is happening. Even today, hey, the Mormons said, you know, Joseph, what was his name? Joseph Smith, and then Brigham Young came, Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons and all these false religions going out. Hey, Oprah's got her own religion, and it's false. And people are following her by the droves, okay? Hey, there's all these false prophets, false religions. Don't be deceived by any of them. How do you know? How do you know the truth from a lie? John teaches us the spirit of Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist will be inside a man who comes up, who will try to be like Christ. But right now, it's already in the world all over. And if you're following anything against Christ, you're following the Antichrist. How do you tell the difference? Because the ones who are speaking truth will tell you Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He died on the cross and he rose again, and there's no other way but him. The spirit of Antichrist will say, oh, all religions are the same. Jesus is good. Muhammad is good. Buddha is good. Smoking dope and humming is good. Whatever you want to do is good. Be your own God. Do your own thing. There's no moral absolutes. Whatever you feel is okay. Okay? That's a lie. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me and me alone. That's why the world will hate us. Because we say there's one way. And they say, oh, every way. You've got to tolerate every religion. I don't tolerate false religions. I mock them, make fun of them like Elijah did. I love the people who are under the bondage of the deception, but I don't tolerate the religion. I expose it for what it is. Hello? Don't be sucked up in the world thinking we got to tolerate everybody's religion and put it on equality with Christ. That's evil. Don't do it. Hello? So he says this. Watch this. Verse 3. Don't let anyone fool you in any way, for that will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that's called God or is worshiped, as he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, don't you remember that when I was with you, I was telling you these things, and now you know what is holding him back. The old King James uses archaic word letteth, which actually means hindereth. Okay, what is holding him back so that he may be revealed in proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue until he's taken out of the way. I'm going to give you my interpretation of this, which goes along with many Bible scholars way before me, okay? And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy the splendor and with the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds, hear me now, I'm almost through, with counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perishing because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Watch this. We have a lot in this case right now in this country. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. We've got many delusional now all over the world, so that they will believe a lie and that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth and have delighted in wickedness. So, let me tell you how this is going out. The spirit of Antichrist has been around for, you know, since the beginning. But now there's going to be a rise up as the world tries to come together and create a one world system, there's going to be all kind of war and problems in the world, tensions in the Middle East. There's going to be a breakdown. There could be some war skirmishes around. And people are going to be looking for a leader. Here's what's going to happen. Right when this guy is ready to be unveiled on the scene, Jesus Christ is going to come and blow the trump. And the rapture is going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord, the church, is going to be taken, hallelujah, to be with him. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll be with him. Now, when the Holy Spirit that's in the church leaves the planet, all hell's going to break loose. The Spirit of the Lord will still be here. He's forever. There'll still be witnesses, 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel, 144,000 plus the two witnesses, some think, or Moses and Elijah on this earth. So the Spirit of the Lord will be operating through them, but the church will rise. And when we do, guys, we're the ones that are making a stand for righteousness against the evil that's out there. We're the ones that's voting, that's standing, that's speaking out, that's standing against the evil. Folks, for evil, watch this, for evil to flourish, all you have to do is get out of the way. It's already there, right? Okay? For evil to flourish, hey, if there's no one making a stand and developing a rehab and offering hope, if there's no one going preaching the prison, if there's no one speaking the truth, evil will flourish and take over your town and your house and your home and your children. If you're not someone in that home standing and proclaiming truth, the evil will take over your children. You've got to make a stand and stand for truth and speak it, because evil's all around. Okay? Well, when the church leaves and the presence of God in us, which is all over the world, man, all hell's going to break loose. There's going to be all kind of fight and all kind of mess. The wrath of God is going to start being poured out, and folks will be crying out, somebody save us. And this Antichrist will rise up and they'll say, there he is. Let's follow him. Hey, we're tired of this, all of this internet theft and all this. We need a one world system. He'll make a one world system, and there'll be a false prophet rise up pointing to him, and he'll cause all, small or great, rich or free, bond or poor, to receive a mark on their right hand or the forehead, without which no man can buy or sell. It'll be a new world order. And you'll have to have a mark. Just like you got to have a card now and go buy your stuff. Soon, instead of losing your card, they'll just put it right under your skin. You'll go to Walmart, get your milk, pass your hand under the thing, it'll go, doot, and it'll deduct the money out of your account and put it into theirs. The technology's already here. They can already put the chip in the skin. It's already leading up to that. But we know about it because we read the scriptures and we talk about it. Hello? So this is coming, but that man of lawlessness will be revealed, and we understand, and when the Spirit of the Lord, he'll be able to deceive the people, and people will worship him and honor him. But yet, folks, because the Spirit of the Lord is operating through many, there'll be many martyred saints that come to Christ during that time, and the Antichrist will go after them. That's why the Bible says in Daniel, I'm closing, stay with me, okay? That's why the Bible says, he will be given power over the saints and will defeat them for a time. The church is gone. Others finally came to Christ. Better come to him now. Don't wait for that. And the enemy will have some authority over them and be killing them, putting them just like we do in the play that Carla brought to the church when I'm behind bars there. Okay, it'll happen like that. Saints will be rounded up. They won't want to take the mark, and they'll be beheaded for the cause of Christ. Okay? Daniel wrote all these things not to scare us. He wrote all these things, and Paul wrote it in Thessalonians to encourage you that our Lord Jesus Christ has a kingdom that'll never end, and he lives with us. He wants you to be aware of what's going to be happening in the world. Here's how I sum it up. Amen. The kingdom of God is in the church. The church is spreading all over the world. The nations are coming to Christ by the thousands. And while this has happened, evil is rampant at the same time. Folks, but in the end, we win. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can understand the news from the point of the scripture. Thank you, Lord, that you're not giving us over to deception. Lord, we see the deception to such a point where people in America believe that homosexuality is right. People in America even believe that abortion is right. People believe in such wicked things. They've been deceived. Lord, help us shine the light of truth, that people come out of deception into your light, and we walk it in this life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.